Hallo, herzlich willkommen hier zum Tux Radio mit Mario Behling, live von der Frostcon. Und wir haben hier einige Supporter, Developer, Contributors vom Lumera-Projekt. Das ist auch schon ein internationales Projekt und deswegen geht es hier auch jetzt in Englisch weiter, auf Englisch, because we have a lot of people from different countries here, from the Lumera project. So welcome here, five people in front of me. I'm Mario Behling from Berlin with Tux Radio. Could you introduce yourself shortly? I see four men here and one woman, so your community involves both already. That is great to see. And you told me before already that you have people who develop, people who do design, different things. Maybe we go around here. What are your names? What are your roles in the project?
Okay, my name is Hermann Fossler. I'm from Munich, from Germany, and I'm one of the core developers of the Lumiera project. I'm doing the middle level of the project, where the session data is and where the user do their editing work.
Yeah. Okay, hello.
Hello, I'm Christian Teter. I'm developer doing the backend layer, making the I/O systems, multi-threading support, and different bits of which comes from down to the up, giving.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm Herman Rubak, as Norwegian, and I've been involved with the Sinlera community version since 8 years. 7 years, and I was sort of the one saying something needs doing here, and gave these two other guys sort of the go-ahead and backing and say, just go on, do it. I'm currently moderating the Sinlera mailing lists and providing well-wishing to the Lumiera crowd.
Yeah, I'm Odin. I'm mostly a video editor, so I need this program to work. But I'm also helping out with the small stuff small patches which are easy enough for me to do.
I'm Raffaella Traniello from Italy. I help with the non-developing tasks, and I'm a teacher. I'm in love with Sinlera. I use it a lot for educational purposes.
Okay, so fantastic. We have developers here, we have video editors here, we have people who use it for education and supporters for the community. Who started the Lumiera project actually?
I think, yes, we did started with Sinlera, wanted to make improve Sinlera, but sometime we found out there's a bottomless pit. So we slowly slipped into making it our own application. The main Sinlera also didn't want to contribute to us, so we decided to let's make us a rewrite because we don't want to maintain his code.
Okay, so Lumiera is actually a project for video editing, and that comes out of the Sinlera project. Maybe many video editors you know that, Sinlera project, and so you were involved there and it didn't work out, is that right? And
yes, that's right. We walked out. I tried to do independent movie project, and we did the editing with Sinlera, and we got the work done, but we were very well aware where the shortcomings are. We tried to improve it, and I'm also a professional software developer, so I did some estimates, make this may cost you 2 days, and then you start coding and you realize you need 2 months. And it's always this relation in the source base. And so at one point we decided just we need to do a partial rework of Sinlera, bringing up some components to the level so you can participate and build on quickly. And as Christian already said, this partial reward, the original author just, he wasn't hostile, but he just wasn't interested in any communication and any exchange. So at some point, we just made this partial rework into a complete rewrite.
Yeah. And when was that, actually? When did you start the project?
A couple of years ago.
So 2007, then?
Yeah, I might add the way we interacted with Adam Williams was sending in patches and see if they were accepted, which means you had a round trip of 1 to 3 months. He rarely responded to emails, which meant it wasn't really a community project, and quite a few felt that little rewarding and a bit frustrating. So basically, it's hard to get involvement from contributors that way. You have to be patient and persistent and willing to sort of do your own thing with not much feedback. And many people aren't just willing to work that way. They get angry or lose their drive. You may remember more clearly when we actually started. It sort of started out with a wiki page called Sinlera Woes. That was sort of your laments about Sinlera. You hadn't quite decided yet whether we should just refactor Sinlera or start afresh. That came a bit later. I see you're nodding, so Hermann might want to say something.
Yes, I wrote this page. It was in May 2007, and I did an analysis sort of from the viewpoint of a developer and a software architect, and separated the small problems and the large problems, and said there are some structural problems, there are some problems with release management and the like, and just it gave itself the way to do a first project proposal. We then built up a little time schedule and said we could start with this and that, and that's the way that it's a new project, improving Sinlera, emerged. At that time, we called it Sinlera 3, because at that time, the official level was Sinlera 2.1. And it was about a year. We started really coding with the structures we have until now in July 2007.
And how many people are already involved, and what's the current state?
Okay, the current state is we have 3 core developers. We hope to get Joel from Great Britain here too, but he couldn't attend on a short time collision between some schedules. Joel, I should introduce him too. He does the GUI layer, the graphical user interface. We started from the core, and he joined, say, a year later or so. And he was from Inkscape, so he was familiar with Gitika, and we just said, whoever takes on the GUI has to decide Qt, Gitika, or what else. And so he was from GTK, so we have a GTK.
You have GTK, and what's the programming language?
C++ for the GUI, C++ for the middle layer, and plain performant C.
C for the low-level layer, because we do quite low-level POSIX programming, so it makes sense to just plain use C. We established an interface system which is based on C2, so the higher levels are connected over it. So virtually we can bind to any language which has C binding. So we are quite language independent, but probably we don't want strange languages in the core. Later on, people can write plugins and stuff in Haskell or whatever, so it's possible all.
Okay, and what are the special goals of the Lumira project? There are already several editing suites, there are a lot of tools like FFmpeg and so on. Odin, you're also involved here as someone from the video side, actually, who says like what you want or like what you see as the needs of a filmmaker. What's the project for you?
Yes, actually, there are none in Linux. There are none that that can do what I need to do on a very quick schedule right now. Synolaro could have done it if it hadn't crashed all the time. It's kind of I've tried everything I've found, and I'm trying it very often to see if I can move from my Macintosh, which I run OS 10 on only because I need to do video editing. I'm trying as best as I can to move forward the video projects on Linux, because you have very good stuff like FFmpeg, and you have all that. It's super, but I need to be able to cut loads of maybe 8 hours of raw material down to 20 minutes, and I need to do that quickly so I can do other stuff later. And it's currently not possible to do that in an efficient manner. Of course, I could write the shell scripts that take out some seconds there and some seconds there, and use FFmpeg to write my own bash editing suite. But I won't be able to do it as quickly as I can do other places. But with the Lumiere, I will be able to do that. Quickly, I'm working with my files on my computer. Synolaro doesn't really like me, so it keeps crashing. I made some proud projects with it in DV format, because Synolaro works best with DV format. I think because most people use it, so people have.
It's the tested format.
Yeah, it's a tested written patch written format. So I was impressed with it when I had been able to make a short movie with it, and it only crashed a few times, and I could use the backup file which it keeps. So I just need something more stable.
Mm-hmm. And what I find quite amazing from your project, it's still a young project, but you're involving already a big community, not only developers, but people from all kinds of backgrounds. Raffaella, how did you get involved in this project here from Italy?
Well, Synolaro needs a lot of help. I mean, Synolaro users, so this is how you get in contact with the community. And when you receive so much, you are automatically happy to give back. So that's how community works.
Yeah.
And for me, it's particularly important being part of a community and working on an open source project, free software, because it's an important thing for educational project. You always think not only you don't produce, you don't care much about the final project, but about the process. So open source and community are very important.
So you also used Synolaro before, but because there wasn't really a community effort, community building and a community process, you're now involved in Lumiere. And what are you doing there?
I feel that Synolaro and Lumiere are sisters. Uh-huh. So they work together. The community is more or less the same. We are really not a single community, but nearly. There are a lot of things that needs to be done that are not developers' task, like website or T-shirts. Or logo, or
finding a name for the new project, for example.
Oh yeah.
Finding a name for the new project, for example. Yeah. Lumiere did a terrific job for organizing a community-driven name contest, name proposal game, name contest, and then internet vote, which gave us just the name Lumiere. And the same, she did together with Odin, organize a contest for our beautiful logo, which we have.
Yeah. Maybe you'll tell us. So that's what you did.
Yeah, so the idea was that, okay, the name is important, but it can be a mean to get the community alive. And so it worked because it was much spoken about in Mm-hmm. Many people participated, and even, for instance, for a logo, you had to work a lot. So it was a bit, we were not sure if to make a contest for a logo, because it could be a waste of work. But instead, it had the right spirit. It was really a community giving, and we have a beautiful a poster made with all the logos. We had more than 100 logos, beautiful logos, and it was I really feel that was a community game, probably, because it was just shared fun. Mm-hmm.
And how did you actually organize that? Maybe there are people listening now who would like to know, how can we do that? We are also a community. We are also developing software and things. How did you do that? Did you set up a forum and then invite people, or did you do that over a mailing list? Also, how practically, what did you actually do?
Tell them about the voting system.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, you used some kind of web app for the time of voting system that Debian uses, the Condor set. Isn't that what they call it? So which is kind of beautiful, because then you're not encouraged to vote tactically. You're actually giving scores according to what you self think. And in this way, we sort of managed to encourage people to argue about the color of the bike shed, which is usually frowned upon among developers, but here we actually encouraged it.
We had a wiki. We had a wiki, and people just uploaded their proposals on the wiki, and I was always looking through the proposals, and many other people who were very interested were looking as well, and we gave comments to the ones we liked, and maybe, can you try it in that color? And we tried it out, and we also had some rules that we started out with, very easy and set rules. It has to be dun 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 dun, I think it made it very easy and very unambiguous what you had to do. I think lowering the barrier that much, it made it very easy, and people didn't have to register or anything. They just put up their logo submission and wrote a little text on the wiki, and it just built up from there.
And because it was a wiki, we could see a nice process where it was really an open source logo, so someone else took the idea and maybe added something on it. Then someone else came and modified it another time. So we were really working together. And also it was good because we could count on the Sinulera community with the mailing list with a lot of people. Yeah, we spread the word around, but we had already a community to start from.
It hasn't been said, but the Sinulera upstream project didn't talk very much, and that's why the Sinulera community was made, which was essentially a downstream community which had its own coders and took in patches and set up a mailing list and took care of the users, Rafa and many else made guides how to use Sinulera, tips and tricks, and so it built a big community around that, and that's the community that's also involved in Lumiera.
Could you tell us a few numbers, like how many people participated in this design contest, for example, how many people are on the mailing list, what can you see?
I think a little over 100 people on the mailing list. Don't know how much people were in the design contest.
About more than 100, yeah.
Yes.
Or maybe it was 100 submissions.
Yes, there were probably more.
Yeah, there were many submissions. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many unique contributors there were, but quite a few.
It's nice. You never know with our open project.
Yeah. Okay, and so you said you also decided about the name Lumiera. So what does the name mean? I could imagine maybe it's about film and cinema, light, Lumiera, but maybe one of you could explain.
Yes, and it's especially about the Lumiere brothers who invented cinema, the very first usable projector and camera, more than 100 years ago. And so it's about the idea of bridging between past and future. And of course, it has a nice ring. It also the association of light and cinema and magic and the era, the end of Cine Lera is also in this name. Mm-hmm. So it's about uniting, bringing together, bridging, and the idea of light and magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're quite deliberate to not bind this too closely to the notion of video, you know, pixels and electronic live images, because that kind of course, that's going to be the norm anyway, so it's kind of redundant information in 10 years. And it also kind of has the wrong ring to it, because it's still considered cheap and low and not as artistic and whatever. So, we want to associate it more with imagery and cinematography, even though, of course, at the bottom line, it is video.
Mm-hmm. And what
we had 270 name proposals, and the community chose. So when he says we, he means the whole community.
Yeah. What were some other names that were proposed? Was it a tight vote, or like were most of the people really in favor of that name?
The first name, of course, was Porn Edit.
Porn Edit.
This was the first name proposed.
Would have got a lot of scores probably.
It didn't Google. Win. No, it wasn't a high contender.
Okay.
I remember Open Cut. And now there was extremely many. It's not so easy to remember them.
Many with sin in it, and many female names. Mm-hmm. Also because Cine Lera is a she, so you know the logo is a girl. So Lumiera is a female name. That was
one name which got high score since some time period was Verit or Verité.
Like cinema Verité.
Cinema Verité. Yes.
Yeah.
Free Cut was also a name. So.
Free Cut, yeah, Free Cut, Cut Pro.
Free Cut Pro, yes.
But I guess we kind of were reluctant to tie the word free into the name, especially when you have the English word free with this pesky free as in beer, free as in freedom duality, which is sort of, it's getting old. If we had a word that meant unfettered, libre, frei,
yeah.
You know, that meaning, okay, that could have worked, but we're not going to repeat the whole GNU story about free as in freedom. It's because it's old. It's overused.
And before, Raffaella, you said the developers of Cine Lera, the first developers, they weren't involved a lot, and the original developers didn't really participate and exchange with the community. How was the reaction? How is their reaction to the Lumiera project now?
The idea was to involve them too, but they decided to not participate, and so the project took a new name and was really separated from the Cine Lera project.
Odin, do you have contact with them now? Is there a reaction? Do they say, yes, great, somebody's doing it? Or do they rather say, oh, well, why do they do this?
There are sometimes some mails, so we're kind of friendly folk, or not even a folk anymore, but Heroin just doesn't respond to mails usually. So it's just nothing heard from them.
Okay. Good. So you said you're building the community. How can people participate in community? What kind of websites do you have? Do you have a forum? Do you have do you use SourceForge and so on? Please tell us about that.
That's really something important and new we want to do. We don't. We are not on SourceForge. We have our own server, but this own server is just for a point where people can look at. We make a new infrastructure where people can easily join. The barrier to joining is very low. We have a Git repository, which is anonymous committable, so everyone can just get it, code something. Please talk with us before you start. It's a big mess, but anyone can easily join. It's very broad organized. If someone wants to take over some part and says, hey, I know how to do this, then he becomes the head of this part. And we work on making it the entry barrier extremely low. We make a sub-project, it's called JuWiki. That's kind of wiki engine, but it will contain the Lumiera source code too. So you can go on the website and click a source code, JuWiki, there's some bug in the source, or just Witget is misaligned or so, and you can fix the code or make a translation error corrected without sending a patch or without making a bug report, just two clicks and you have fixed it.
Mm-hmm. I often see projects, they do a lot, but then I talk to them and they say, well, nobody can see that we do something, that we are so active. Everyone thinks we are just sleeping all the time, or our project is dead. So communication, actually communicating what you're doing, I believe it's very important. Do you already use services like linux.com, the community groups there? Do you use Twitter? Do you have somebody who's blogging already?
We have a mailing list. This mailing list is intentionally for developers and prospective users currently, because we want to work together. The webpage is not very often updated, but I put a news section into it where we will make updates soon. And so far, when JuWiki comes alive, we will use it for making updates about how the project going on. We don't have other pages yet. We have an issue tracker, but there's more. Everything goes over the mailing list.
I think we are a bit worried about putting up discussion boards early, because we are striving to encourage doers more strongly than talkers. And putting up a message board early could invite quite a few talkers, which would sort of do their own thing, that is, discussing with each other and not committing to doing anything. And we have a fairly low patience with that kind of activity, especially, well, we could just ignore it, but that would defeat the purpose, because it's supposed to be about communication between the developers and the community. And if it's to serve that purpose, it has to do so in a way that is productive and not annoying to us. Well, that sounds a bit harsh, but it's at least honest.
We had a GUI brainstorming wiki page some time ago, and it's got bloated. I think it's how long is it? Probably printed 10, 20 pages. Many hundreds of ideas are there, uncoordinated, and just anyone wrote what he thinks would be nice. And our GUI programmer said, oh God, we can't do that. It will not work. So someone has a lot effort to put it into it to clean the things up and make it round. So it's not always a good idea to have a very broad discussion. But we have to decide what makes the application experience round.
But I should add something about our developer infrastructure. We are usually hanging out on our own channel on Freenode, which is, of course, Lumiera. And we do more or less regularly developer meetings. Well, there may be some month where we just meet in a low group, but usually we do a protocol, we have an agenda, it's on a fixed schedule, and developers are there and the interested users are there, and we're just doing a real conducted meeting, not just chatting. And similarly, we had in the time when Christian sponsored his wiki. And usually we will have, again, when the YubiKey is there, we will have an area where you can make design proposals. We have a form there, how a design proposal should look, an abstract, a description, a rationale, a pro and contra section. You fill this out, and it gets discussed on the next developer meeting and decided or rejected. And we have good deal of our fundamental decisions are documented in this way, And the idea is any active developer, of course it was usually us three core developers, can drive such a design and then get it decided, get it discussed. And it's all about communication. We have a low entrance barrier. That's the one side. The other side, we want to get, we are attentive on the mailing list. We are responding to everyone who does real discussion on the mailing list and get the discussion going. Even we, at times, we care for stirring the discussion with some controversial things. And Git is the whole idea of this art of distributed but coordinated. Mm-hmm. Christian already mentioned we have a mob repository, but you can't just put something. We will note if someone puts something in this mob repository, but then he has to discuss and convince some of the core developers. He will say, can you change this? Can you? And so it's ping pong. He commits and it bubbles up into the core main, three main, and then to the top level mm-hmm. repository. If we see we have some sort of central leadership, but it's democratic.
Yeah, so this is the new form of JIT that is from the Linux kernel development and that was implemented in big hosting platforms like SourceForge also recently. So it's really taken off and pushing the free and open source community here into new heights, I believe. For you also, face-to-face meetings are important. You are here at the FrostCon. You're one of the biggest projects present at the FrostCon with 6 members. You're here, yeah? Yes. So, and from three different countries. That's fantastic. Where can I meet you guys? Where are meetings? Where are you going? Which events are coming up where we can meet you? When, for instance, I'm let's say I'm in Norway, will you be present at the next Norway meeting?
Pixel in Bergen, that's a fairly high chance. That's in the autumn or the winter in Bergen. We've met that there once. I've been there several times, but it's a bit sort of remote for the majority of the contributors. And that's a bit of a problem. But sadly, it's the only really relevant video free software events.
Mm-hmm. But since this June...
In Europe, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have been to the Open Video Conference in New York. Oof. And it has been a great event that it will have a future. The community is growing quickly. I think it's already there. It's just been recognized. So we will be part of this great movement, this great community.
So in North America and the Americas, there are also a lot of members already.
Yes.
Of the Lumera project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Cinelera. Yeah.
Yes, sure. Cinelera is mostly organized by American people, but we already have some American programmers who want to join the project.
Yeah, so a real global project.
Yes.
I should add, it's not intentionally. We are not intentionally an European or German project. It's just coincidence. We learn to know each other through this project.
Okay.
It's just rather a sort of coincidence that much European people are interested in video and this kind of stuff.
I just can add the UWiki is currently mainly developed by some guy in India who joined us. Then there's a Buddhist monk in Sri Lanka who tries to help us, who promotes free software. He has a Buddhist TV station there and tries to spread the word and get developers for us. There's someone deep in Siberia who is within the community. There's... Yes, South America. Who?
Yeah. We had initially much interest of filmmakers or television makers from South America, which just say, "It sucks. We need a free solution for making movies, which is not controlled by a large company." There's interest there, and I think it will take off.
Was it in Brazil?
Yes, Brazil and all over the world. It's nice with the internet, with this community building. The people come from everywhere, and we work together. And everyone goes where we can meet. It's not easy to get to conferences. So FrostCon is a little bit special because we declared it as a developer meeting or first international developer meeting. But we try to be present everywhere we can get. So the Linux Audio Conference is a good chance to see us. So
yes, we met there too. Linux Audio Conference is highly recommended.
So that's Lumiera, a great project. The URL is lumiera.org, lumiera.org, and I get all the information there. It's a young but very big community, and a lot of interesting things will come up. TV stations are interested in it, and I'm very glad to have talked to you. Actually, I was following your activities for quite some while, and I'm very happy so we could meet you here, and we follow up in the future. Thank you very much. That was Hermann Vossler from Lumiera, Hermann Rohrbeck, two Hermanns here, Christian Täter, Odin Umdal-Horte, and Raffaella Traniello. Thank you very much.